Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. We have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or some life issue that you're struggling with, can't quite get beyond it, well, we would love to discuss it with you right now on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, that number is 844-322-2742. And Bob, in your absence yesterday, it was great to have that Richard guy in here. He's always welcome at Basic Gospel to these microphones, and he just does a wonderful job in your absence.
Yes, he does. I just love hearing Richard. He's so bold and so confident and clear in proclaiming this good news of Jesus Christ. And boy, he's just got a lot of history and story,
sure,
and has worked through so much in his own life as far as really coming to grips with the grace of God, and he's able to articulate that in such a wonderful, wonderful way.
Yeah.
So, as you said, we always welcome Richard Pfeiffer to the Basic Gospel microphones, and we were glad he was available to help us yesterday.
Yeah.
And like I said, he just does a fantastic job, and we're really honored to know him as a brother in Christ and
Indeed.
A fellow colleague in Basic Gospel. We've been talking all month, Bob, about how to stand out as believers in Christ Jesus. It seems like we're just a part of the culture today. We've just blended in. We're just out there with everybody else, and it's hard to distinguish true believers from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's not how God has really set it up. That's not how God has designed us. I mean, we are different in the fact that we are alive in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is alive in us. So we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So here at Basic Gospel, we have a slogan that says, "Hear it, believe it, and live it." Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about this month is the living out who we are as children of God. And there's three things that I want to talk to us about today, three things that God encourages us, admonishes us, actually commands us to do as believers in Christ. And I'm going to start in Romans 15. And if you followed along with us on Sunday Morning Live, this was part of what we talked about this past Sunday. But Romans 15:7 says this: "Therefore, welcome or accept one another as Christ has welcomed or accepted you for the glory of God." So we welcome one another from all different backgrounds because of our now unity in Christ Jesus. Now, this was particularly important back in Paul's day because he was going into all of these various places in the Roman Empire. He was going to synagogues first, and he was announcing the good news of Jesus Christ there. A few of the Jewish citizens back then would believe the gospel, but most rejected, did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So Paul would go out to the Gentiles at that point. So there were a few Jewish believers and then some Gentile believers. And now they were together as one in Christ Jesus. Now, Jews had a hard time accepting Gentiles into the fellowship.
Sure.
Gentiles had a hard time accepting Jews into the fellowship. Well, here was Paul's command: accept one another as Christ has accepted you. I mean, Christ didn't just pick some from one singular background. He went out to the world. He died for the sins of the world. This was for a gospel for all people in all nations. Anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. So Jesus accepted us from all backgrounds. He welcomed us into the family of God. So we need to do likewise, and that's what's going to make us stand out. We love to divide ourselves based on all sorts of things. You know, years ago, Sunday, and even today, Sunday can be the most segregated day of the week. We're kind of dividing into likes, the people of like whatever it might be. And Paul is saying, no, you're one in Christ. Welcome one another. Be together in unity, this unity that Christ has created. So that's the first thing. We accept one another as Christ has accepted us. So that's the big phrase. That little word, as, is very important. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. What does that force you to do? It forces you to think about how Christ has welcomed you, has accepted you into the body of Christ. And when you reflect on that, when you remember that, when you allow that to sink deep into your heart and soul, it does something on the inside. It makes that soul of yours just respond in this overwhelming sense of gratitude and thankfulness. And that is going to be what compels you to accept others just as Christ has accepted you. The second thing is in Ephesians 4:32, and it's also repeated in Colossians 3:13. It says this, that we are to bear with one another, to forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. So again, that little two-letter word as is so important for us. As God in Christ has forgiven you. That's how we're to forgive one another. So how did God in Christ forgive us? Once and for all, that blood of Jesus Christ took away all of our sins, past, present, and future. When we receive Christ, we receive that gift of forgiveness. And so in Him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God initiated that. So when we're to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us, we take the first step. We initiate. Then the third thing is this, that we're to love others as Christ has loved us. And again, how has Christ loved us? Well, unconditionally. I mean, He has no strings attached. He demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, He died. He's just the essence of love. He rolled up His sleeves. He was patient with us. He was kind with us. He persevered with us. He never fell away. He was always there. And so how are we to love others? In that same way. Now, we can't do that in our own strength. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So it's through the strength, through the power of the resurrection, the strength of the Holy Spirit, that we can manifest this love that God has poured out into our hearts, into the lives of others. So how do we stand out in this world? Three things. We accept one another as God in Christ has accepted us. We forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. We love one another as Christ has loved us. That's how we stand out in this crazy world in which we're living.
And of course, these things are all alliterated and underlined and underscored in your CD series, Against the Current. And friends, we would love for you to have a copy of it. And you know, Basic Gospel is here every weekday because a message of grace in Jesus Christ has resonated with our donors. And because of the message, the love and grace and life of Jesus Christ, our donors give so that others might hear the same life-changing message. And speaking of Against the Current, to say thanks for your support in October, we want to send you a copy. It's Bob's latest CD series, Against the Current. It can help you, as Bob said, deepen your faith and your understanding of how to stand strong in the face of the pressures and patterns of this world. So to make your gift, go to basicgospel.net, click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Your generous gift will, it'll of course help bring believers back to Jesus Christ, who is, of course, the way and the truth and the life. So again, please donate today at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Against the Current. Well, we have plenty of open lines, friends. Want to hear from you at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's hear this call from Kat.
Hi, Bob. It's Kat. Can a Christian still struggle with fear? Because I know, I think it's in 2 Timothy where it says that perfect love casts out fear. So that would be my question for today. Okay, thank you, guys, and God bless you, and we'll see you later. Mm-hmm. Bye for now.
Well, Kat, yes. I mean, we're human beings. We're all going to experience certain measures of fear, in our lives. Sometimes we're fearful of the future. Psychologists would call that anxiety. But that's something that we all deal with. I think a lot of people in 2020 have experienced some measure of anxiety, some measure of fear as they've thought about the future. Will I have a job? If I don't have a job, will I be able to pay my mortgage? What's going to happen to me as far as my living situation is concerned? So, yes, we can all experience measures of fear in our lives. We can doubt. We can do all sorts of things. That's why the scripture is filled with passages of encouragement. For example, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Now, why would he say be anxious for nothing? Because he knows our human tendencies. Yeah. He knows that we can get anxious over all things. And why is that so? Because our minds have the capability of projecting out into the future or going back to the past. And when we do, we normally latch on to things either from our past that are negative, or we create pictures in our mind about the future that are negative. And those negative thoughts can trigger negative emotions, this fear, this anxiety. So, yes, we can have those things. But God doesn't condemn us. God doesn't berate us. God doesn't lash out at us when we have those fears. He simply encourages us. He simply pours out even more of his love on us in such a way where that love can cast those fears aside.
Yeah.
And really get us to operate in faith. Now, we can be fearful of our future. We can be fearful of a lot of things, but we don't have to allow fear to be the motivating factor in how we handle situations in life. Like I said, I can be fearful about tomorrow, but knowing how God has been faithful to me in Christ Jesus all the way up until today, I can count on the fact that he's going to be faithful to me tomorrow and that he's going to meet all of my needs that are going to be there tomorrow. So even though I may be fearful of tomorrow, I don't have to let that fear be the motivating factor in my decisions, how I face tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yes, we can experience fear. Christians can allow that fear to turn into self-pity. They can allow that self-pity to turn into depression, and they can allow that depression to, turn into despair.
Right.
Are there Christians out there experience that? Absolutely. But the Word of God is filled with encouragement. It's filled with passages of assurance that can lift people out of that and turn hearts that are filled with fear, minds that are filled with fear, to ones that begin to say thank you to the living God because of all that he has done for them in the person and work of Christ Jesus.
Kat, you asked some great questions, and thanks for reaching out for this one. We have an open line, friends, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us today. We'd love for you to really come into the studio right now at 844-322-2742 and pose your question or your particular need. 844-322-2742. Bob, this question from our friend Ted, who views the program on Facebook. He says, what if James isn't talking about salvation of works, but maturity and faith to be saved?
Well, that's a good question. You know, there's lots of discussion about the book of James, particularly James chapter 2, where he talks about faith without works is dead. And, there's been so many people throughout church history who have looked at at this letter of James and said, I don't even think this should belong in the Word of God. It seems so contradictory to what Paul has been saying. So Paul has talked about time and time again that we are justified by faith alone. So out of the Protestant Reformation, for example, there were five things that came out of that, and we're about to celebrate, I think, the 503rd anniversary of the day that Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses to that door, the door of the church. But out of that came five things: grace alone, we're saved by grace alone, we're saved by grace alone through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, through the authority of the Word of God alone. So we have grace alone, we have faith alone, we have Jesus alone, we have the Word of God alone, to the glory of God alone. So those were the five things that came out of the Protestant Reformation. And most all of that was extracted from the letters of Paul, the writings of Paul. So Martin Luther, for example, was very, overwhelmed by the book of Romans. And he saw it was revealed to him, the righteousness of God was revealed to him as he started reading through that. And so he became the stalwart of faith alone is how we're saved. And that's exactly true, justification by faith. But when you look at Paul's writings, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2, he says we've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone. It's not of works, it's a gift of God. But he also goes on to say in verse 10 that we are God's workmanship, created in God for good works, which God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in. So he's in that singular passage, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, we see we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, but there's works that flow out of that, things that God has prepared for us. And I think James is getting at that in his letter when he said that faith without works is dead. I think he's just echoing the sentiments that Paul put forth in that Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 passage. So there are many people that give lip service to faith in Jesus Christ, and that's all it is, lip service.
Yeah.
But when they're pressed by trials and tribulations of life, they respond to those as if they have no knowledge of Christ at all, as if they're practical atheists, as if their faith were dead. And the reason it's that way is because their faith is dead. There's no real faith there at all. They've simply believed some facts about history, facts about Jesus. The demons believe all of that. But that's not true saving faith. That's not true sustaining faith as well. So, yeah, I think James is really expounding on Ephesians 2:10, the works that God has prepared for us.
Ted, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you, and thanks for reaching out. Again, time on the clock, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, Bob Christopher is constantly working to produce new and insight-filled teaching videos that are posted free on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Visit any time for encouragement, for clarification, for truth about the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find all these excellent videos when you visit basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, Bob, this question from Jeremy, he says about Revelation 2:5, which states, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So Jeremy's question is, what exactly does this mean, and how does it relate to salvation?
Well, it's a message to the church at Ephesus, and it's kind of interesting because when we look at Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, it is a letter about the grace of God. It's also a letter that talks to us about the love of God, how God has given us the Holy Spirit, and he prays that God would strengthen us through his Spirit in our inner man so that we would be able to understand and comprehend the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, and to know this love that passes understanding. So that was Paul's message to the church at Ephesus through his letter. And that letter circulated among various churches. And then here at the end, John is writing to them and saying, hey, I have something against you.
Uh-huh.
And here's what I have against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. So the Ephesians became known as the church that stood against the evils of this world. He talks about that, the Nicolaitans. It says, yes, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And so they stood up against the evils of this world, but in so doing, they lost what they had at first. And what was it that they had at first? Just a pure devotion to Jesus Christ based on his love for them and their love for him. And so John was chastising them and saying, hey, I want you to repent and to do the works at first. Well, what were those things that flowed out of a heart of love?
Yeah.
And I think this is a good message to us today, especially here in the United States of America. We don't want to lose our first love. We want to recognize that that's what distinguishes us as children of God. The fact that we know that God is love, that's the knowledge that's been imparted to us. That's the revelation that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit through the work of Jesus Christ. We know that God is love. And so let's send that message out there into the world. Now, we're not talking about an ushy-gushy, warm, fuzzy type of love. That's not the type of love that we're talking about. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about a love that acts on behalf of someone else. That's what God did in Christ Jesus. That work on the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, was a demonstration of God's love for us. We see that in Romans 5:8. We see it in 1 John chapter 4. That's the love of God. It's a love of God that was patient with us, that was kind with us, that endured, that persevered, that didn't count records of wrongs, that was not rude or boastful or any of those sort of things. That's the type of love of God that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ephesians had responded to that, and they were growing in their understanding of that, and then they lost sight of that as their primary calling and their primary mission. They moved to a place where they thought it was up to them to make a stand against the evils of this world. And I think they forgot that in expressing the love of God out there in the world, that in so doing, that encompassed that taking a stand against the wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, you are saying that God doesn't overlook sin, God doesn't overlook evil, God doesn't sweep it under a carpet. We're saying that God has already done something with it in Christ Jesus. And what he did with it in Christ Jesus was a demonstration of his love for mankind. So when we adhere to that, when we grab a hold of that as our mission, we are able to both communicate the love of God in such a way that it definitely takes a stand against what's evil in the world.
Yes. That's great, Bob. Thank you for that answer. And Jeremy, hope that's a help to you. And thanks to everyone who calls to be a part of the broadcast or pose a question or a counseling need. And if you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some troublesome issue overnight, well, tell us about it at 844-322-2742. We'll discuss it on Basic Gospel, again in the U.S. and in Canada. That's 844-322-2742. And friends, please remember that your prayers and gifts keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. Please help today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your October gift, we're going to send you a copy of our newest resource, Against the Current. A Again, you can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month. Hey, don't forget that we're streaming live video every day to both Facebook and YouTube. You can link at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. And now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.